Let us then return to Isaiah chapter 46. And let us spend a few moments meditating on verses 3 and 4. Let us reread them. Isaiah 46 at verse 3 and verse 4. Hearken unto me, O house of Jacob, and all the remnant of the house of Israel, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. And even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. And particularly the verse 4 there, and even to your old age I am he, and even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. While seeking God's blessing, we want to meditate upon these words in context this afternoon. The title I want to give to our short meditation is God, Our God. God, Our God. And friends, if we're going to take anything from this service today, I hope that we will take something from this passage here, which outlines something of the glory of the great God of heaven. Many of our problems as Christians can be attributed to the fact that we do not meditate upon the perfections or attributes of our great God as we should. And the more that we are familiar in the positive sense with our God, the more that our problems will in some sense evaporate, and the more that we will be able to live a victorious Christian life. Isaiah, his name means Jehovah is salvation. That's what it means. Jehovah is salvation. And the great theme of the book of Isaiah, one of the major prophets, is to trust in God alone. Trust in God alone. And it's very important that we add that word alone, because God's people, and we will think about this in a moment, but God's people went into captivity. They were taken out of Jerusalem and Judah, and they were brought into captivity, into Babylon. Not because they totally forsook the Lord their God, but they worship other gods along with the God of Israel. And the great theme of this book is that the people of God are to worship God alone. God is a jealous God, and he will not share. He will not have us share our affection with other gods. We are to have the Lord our God alone. He is to be the king upon the throne of our hearts. And as we begin a new year, friends, we must always have this before us. Isaiah, he prophesied during the reigns of Uzziah, Jotham, Ahaz, and Hezekiah. And for almost 60 years, he exercised a prophetic ministry. And he saw a lot. He was alive at the time of the Assyrian crisis. Now, we're not going to digress, but it will be helpful for us if we know something of the background. He lived through the Assyrian crisis when the king of Assyria, Sennacherib, came and surrounded Jerusalem and was about to take it during the reign of Hezekiah. And Isaiah instructed Hezekiah that he must not trust in anyone else. Instead, he must trust in the Lord his God. And Hezekiah did. And the Lord delivered Jerusalem out of the hands of the king of Sennacherib. But Isaiah saw one day the people of God would go into captivity. He saw the day when the king of Babylon would come to Jerusalem and he would take the king and all the royal family and many captives back to Babylon. He saw that day. He prophesied it. He didn't live through it, but he saw it. He prophesied it. He knew it would come. But more than that, friends, he also saw the day when those who were in captivity in Babylon would come out of Babylon. He saw that day when God would undertake a second exodus and the people of God would be brought back to Jerusalem to rebuild it, to rebuild Jerusalem and to rebuild the temple. And he saw that wonderful event. And this part of the book of Isaiah was really written to encourage those who would be in captivity, that when the time came for God to move and for God to work and for God to fulfill what he had planned, that they were indeed to go back to the promised land, and they were not in any sense to be frightened of the Babylonians or the Babylonian gods. Verse 1 of the chapter we read, Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. This might not mean much to us, friends, but to those in Babylon at that particular time, this would mean quite a lot, because these individuals here were Babylonian gods. And the Babylonians were trusting in these gods. And the Babylonians believed that these gods had given them victory over the people of God. But here Isaiah saw that day when the Babylonian gods would be brought down low. Baal boweth down, Nebo stoopeth. They will be overthrown. The Babylonians will be completely and utterly overthrown. And someone new was going to come in, Cyrus, the Persian. And God was going to stir up Cyrus, that he would release the Jews, that they might go back into Jerusalem and rebuild Jerusalem and the temple. And this is what he saw. And this is what he wanted to encourage the people, that they are to have faith in their God, and they are not to be distracted by the Babylonians, no matter how great and mighty they may have been. And they're not to look at their gods, because their gods are just idols. Idols dumb. Their idols were upon the beasts and upon the cattle. Your carriages were heavy laden. Why were they heavy laden? They were heavy laden because they had gold on them and silver on them. But they were being carted away. They couldn't move because the Persians had come in and destroyed the Babylonians and taken their gods away with them. They are a burden to the weary beast. The beasts who were taking these gods away were indeed laden because the gods were so heavy with gold and precious things like silver. And Isaiah wants to encourage the people of God that the Lord indeed has plans and purposes for them. And friends, today we want to meditate upon this great and this glorious God. This God is our God. This is the Christian God. And this is the God that we are to worship. And as this new year unfolds, when we don't know one moment from the next, we don't know what's going to happen. We don't know what lies ahead of us. We don't know what difficulties. We don't know what joys. We don't know what disappointments. We don't know what's going to happen. We are completely and utterly ignorant of these things. And therefore it is incumbent upon us that we take our eyes off ourselves. We take our eyes off our idols. And we have our eyes upon the great God of heaven. For this is our God. And the God who did a wonderful thing in that second Exodus, who took the people out and brought them back to Jerusalem, that's the same God that we worship today. And you know, Isaiah saw all this long before it ever happened. He saw it. And you know, friends, he saw something else wonderful. He saw something else that was absolutely glorious. He saw the coming of the Lord Jesus Christ. And he saw a greater deliverance when God's people will be delivered from the thraldom of sin. That's what he saw. And as these things happened, that he predicted, as they happened, the people were to put their faith and their hope and their trust in this God. Because these things are historical facts and realities. These things happened. The Babylonians were overthrown. The people of God did go back to the promised land and rebuild Jerusalem. The Savior did come. He did come. And he offered up that once for all perfect sacrifice of himself on Calvary's tree. And those who put their faith and their hope and their trust are delivered from the thraldom of sin. That's the great God of the Bible. And that's the God that you are called upon to worship. That's the God that you're called upon to serve. That's the God that you are to walk with each day and every day of this year and all the days of your lives. This is the one God, our God. Well, I want to say one or two things about this great God to encourage the people of God and to speak to those who may not call themselves the people of God, that you would have your faith and your trust upon him also. Well, what about God, our God? Well, with our God, friends, you get lifelong support. Lifelong support. Verse 3, towards the end, which are born by me from the belly, which are carried from the womb. He's talking about his people. He's describing the relationship that he has with his people like as a mother. He knew them right back in the womb, in their infancy. He knew them. And what he's telling them here in verse 4, and even to your old age, I am he. All the days of their existence, even before they were in the womb, the Lord their God knew them and cared for them and provided for them. That's the kind of relationship that Israel had with their great God. I think, if my memory serves me right, that the NHS celebrated or marked its 70th birthday last year. And I think one of the mottos of the National Health Service is, from the cradle to the grave. How they would look after the people from the cradle to the grave. Well, friends, this is something about the care and the concern and the lifelong support that God has for his people. He doesn't abandon them. He doesn't abandon them when they get old. He doesn't abandon them when they're not as outwardly useful as they once were. When maybe their faculties are failing them. When ill health is failing them. And all the disappointments that come in life. The Lord does not abandon his people. This is what he's saying. Even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. Do you notice, friends, this is something that's beyond nature. What normally happens? Parents have children. The children grow up. And when the parents get old, normally the children will seek to look after their parents as best as they possibly can. But God is one who looks after his people continually from infancy, even before the womb, right through old age, all the days of their lives. God is the one who is constantly looking after his people, even unto old age. I am he, that one who cares for you. That's what he's saying to the people of Israel. And he's telling them, basically, don't be looking at gods, other gods. Don't fear the gods of the Babylonians. Look at this great God. Look at this one who has formed you into a nation. Look at this one who has taken you out of the house of bondage and brought you into the promised land and done wonderful things to you, and who is about to do more wonderful things in bringing you out of the house of Babylon and into Jerusalem again. Friends, what is true for Israel is even more impressive for the people of God. You see, the Christian, friends, is loved by an everlasting love. We cannot comprehend this. We cannot understand this. But the Christian, friends, is told in the Word of God that we are loved with an everlasting love. Even before we were formed in the womb, we were loved by our great God. A love that has no beginning. A love that has no end whatsoever. Who can comprehend this? This is what we are meant to realize. This is our God. Oh, why do we doubt Him? This new year, this time, what's going to happen? Maybe we're apprehensive. Let us not be apprehensive. Is our faith in God? God is unchangeable. Does the Scriptures not tell us that we were chosen in Christ before the foundation of the world? Before creation, God set His love upon the Christian. This is beyond what Israel experienced. Yes, they were chosen out of the nations, that's true. Chosen that God might work His plan of redemption through them, that is true. But Israel was never chosen to eternal salvation like the Christian. And this is something we know and enjoy, friends. This is our portion. Whether we can feel it, whether we know it in our experience, it is true. This is a reality. We have this care. We have this concern over us exercised by God continually. It's lifelong. It is eternal. It can never change. This is our God. And as this new year unfolds, this is the one we are to trust. This is the one we are to look to and adhere to continually. Secondly, God, our God, is one who will perfectly discipline us. This portion of Isaiah was written not so much for Isaiah's contemporaries, but for those who would go into captivity. And when they would read this, they would understand why they were in captivity. They were in captivity because the people of God had begun to worship idols and they'd taken their eye off the Lord their God. God is a jealous God, of course. And because He loves His people with an everlasting love, He will discipline them. And they were being disciplined. They were being taken to task because of their idolatry. And when God's people sin, they shall be chastised. That verse in Hebrews is very apt and appropriate for us. In Hebrews chapter 12, verse 6, "For whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth, and scourges every son whom He receiveth." And if God's people will tamper with sin, and in this particular case it was idolatry, God will visit them. He will not wink over it. He will not pass it by. He will deal with it because He loves His people. God is one who will exercise discipline. And that is what happened to Israel first of all and then Judah. God dealt with them. Well, we can learn from that, friends. We are not to have other gods. Now, you might think that's strange thing to say to people today, You're not to have your idols. Well, friends, people do have their idols. Oh, they're not like stocks and stones. They're not images. But people have their idols. Anything that detracts from the Lord our God, anything that we devote ourselves to that takes a place of God is an idol. Many people put faith and hope and trust in their education, maybe their wealth, their money, their bank balance. Many people love entertainment or sport or music. But we are the ones who are to be fixed and focused upon the Lord our God. And we are to delight in this glorious person. He is to be the one that is to get our affection, our worship, our adoration. And he was encouraging these people here not to make idols. You see what happened to the idols of Babylon? They couldn't save them. And any idol you make will not save you. You must look to the Lord our God. And if there is anything in your life that is eclipsing your love, your devotion to God, God will visit you. You have to look, you have to examine yourselves in this matter. It's good at this time of year for some kind of self-examination. But we can be certain if the Christian falls into sin and or idolatry, the Lord will certainly visit him. But the third thing we would notice here about God our God is the tender counsel that he will provide. And as the year unfolds, friends, if you're walking close with the Lord, you will know his tender counsel. You cannot worship the true God by serving idols. It is impossible. God is not served like that. And in verse 8, he says to them, "Remember this and show yourselves men. Bring it again to mind, O ye transgressors." What he's telling them there is, look at what's happened. Be reasonable. Show yourselves men. Look at this. Can you see what happened to your people? Can you see why you are in captivity? It's because of idolatry. Can you see what's happened to Babylon? Their idols have been taken away. Idolatry did not save them. Idolatry did not save you. Therefore, be reasonable. This is the tender counsel that God will provide for us as we go through this world, as we go through this year, that he will provide wonderful, tender, appropriate counsel. We have it in his word. And basically what he's saying here is, don't be stupid. See the error of your people. They were once brought into the promised land and they were prosperous as long as they served the Lord their God. But when they forsook him, then their problems began. The Babylonians took them away. And the Babylonians attributed their success to their idols, but their idols will be destroyed. Therefore, we are to serve God and God alone through the Lord Jesus Christ. Well, then, finally and fourthly, we want to notice here that the God of the Bible, our God, he provides appropriate encouragement. Appropriate encouragement. God will not abandon them when it's time to leave Babylon. When Cyrus was going to issue that decree, releasing the Jews and telling them to go back to rebuild the temple and Jerusalem. Some of them may well have been settled in Babylon, and they may not be too keen to uproot everything and to start afresh in the promised land. It would not be easy to resettle, to rebuild, and to repair, and to restart again. But God was going to encourage them that He was going to be with them continually as they made the journey and as they undertook the great task that was before them. And friends, this is what we are to adopt as we go into this new year. We are to trust upon the promises and upon the predictions and upon the power of our great God. The Lord indeed will be with His people. He says here, even to your old age, I am He. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made and I will bear, even I will carry and will deliver you. And this promise is true for all the people of God. A new year. What's going to happen to us personally, we don't know. What's going to happen to us as congregations and as a denomination, we don't know. What's going to happen to the professing Christian church and God's cause in the UK and in the West? It doesn't look particularly good, does it? We don't know. What's going to happen to us as a nation? Many changes may be in the way. We simply don't know. But God does. And what God says to us is what He said to these people. He will be with us. And old age and grey hair may well be our portion. But the Lord indeed will not abandon His people. And He will not abandon His cause. And therefore this is to encourage us. We are not to be despondent. We are not to despair. We are to look to the Lord our God. And we are to put our faith and hope and trust upon Him. And we are to delight in the glorious provision that He has made for our salvation in the Lord Jesus Christ. This, friends, is the God of the Bible. This, friends, is our God. Is this God your God? Because this promise is indeed true for all the people of God. But what if we cannot honestly say that God is our God? Well, God can only be our God if we come to Him through the Lord Jesus Christ, through the only mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. And this is a time. What a wonderful opportunity, a new year, to come and to seek the Lord and to follow in His ways and to accept and to believe and to receive the salvation that He has freely offered to us all in and through the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are encouraged to believe upon Him. We are to delight in what He has done, what no one else could possibly do. Like what we find here, what other God would be able to take a people out of captivity and bring them back into the promised land and establish them yet again? None. And as He was able to do that, and history proves that He did, so, friends, all that He has promised to do in and through the Lord Jesus Christ shall certainly come to pass. Therefore, let us be encouraged. Let us not be despondent. Let us not be in any sense taken up with the things of the world. But let us, as this year unfolds, have this God to be our God. and to be reconciled to him through the finished work of the Lord Jesus Christ. Even to your old age, I am he. And even to hoar hairs will I carry you. I have made, and I will bear, even I will carry, and will deliver you. Amen. And may God bless his word to us. Let us pray together.